Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Thursday morning, October 6, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with the reading of prayers and a devotion each morning. The prayers come from the Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. The devotion is from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We do the morning devotion, and we do our scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We use that translation because at this time, it is the most texturally accurate to the earliest manuscripts that we have. And let's go ahead. I hope you've had a good week so far. Mine's actually been relatively interesting. We've dropped into the, low 60s into the 70s, maybe low 80s high temperatures, which is very nice. I was very, very ready for summer to be over. But we're still getting weird rain showers and stuff like that. Like we got massive thunderstorm last night, which came out of the blue. So that was interesting. It was very unexpected. We started hearing booms and my wife and I are going, why are we hearing booms? What's going on? And then I opened the front door and all of a sudden we realized, oh, it's thunder. So that's what's going on here out in the desert, no less. But it's an every year thing. Everything seemed like it was gone. The rain had gone. And so it's decided to continue on a little bit, which, hey, I don't know what the stats are right now, but it feels like we've gotten more rain this year than we did last year. And that's definitely a plus out here, considering how dry it usually is. And considering we regularly get something like 320 some days of sun a year, which I'm grateful for, so that's what our week has been so far, but let's go ahead and get into our reading. So as has been our practice each day, we're going to read three prayers out of the Puritan prayers. We're going to read two of our regular prayers, Resting on God and Grace in Trials. And then we're going to read the fifth day morning prayer. We're going to read the morning prayer for the day of the week. Today is the fifth day. So let's go ahead with Resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious. The thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And now grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me. for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust and thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. Fifth day morning, the giver. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is the discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear, allure us into thy presence, help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed to us thy grace and mercy in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves, but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor, but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials, but thankful for our state, and by so doing, let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. And I forgot to say at the beginning of the podcast, the links to everything I'm reading this morning are in the show notes, as well as links where you can get the hard copies of these things. And I would definitely recommend that you do so. Like with this prayer, I just read the fifth day morning prayer. There's a fifth day evening prayer. And it is definitely a great way to get yourself in a prayerful state of mind as you go to God and pray. I mean, we're called to pray without ceasing. We're called to pray continuously. And no, that doesn't mean sit there and mumble blah, 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 like you're praying all day long. But it is something that as I've gone along in my walk, it's become more natural to pray very regularly throughout every day. But again, for the Spurgeon's morning and evening, as its name says, there's a morning and an evening devotion. We do the morning one. The evening one is a great one to do as you're wrapping up the day and as you're trying to put yourself in a godly mindset as you go to bed. And believe me, I'm one of those who has trouble sometimes getting to sleep and staying asleep, but putting my mind in a godly mindset is definitely a huge bonus to that. So just letting you know. So let's go on with our reading. We're going to do our devotion at this point. It's Spurgeon's morning and evening. It is the morning, October 6th article. And it is John 4:14 is the text for it. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that's Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. He who is a believer in Jesus finds enough in his Lord to satisfy him now and to content him forevermore. The believer is not the man whose days are weary for want of comfort and whose nights are long from absence of heart-cheering thought. For he finds in religion such a spring of joy, such a fountain of consolation, that he is content and happy. Put him in a dungeon, and he will find good company. Place him in a barren wilderness, he will eat the bread of heaven. Drive him away from friendship, he will meet the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Blast all his gourds, and he will find shadow beneath the rock of ages. Sap the foundation of his earthly hopes, but his heart will still be fixed, trusting in the Lord. The heart is as insatiable as the grave till Jesus enters it, and then it is a cup full of overflowing. There is such a fullness in Christ that he alone is the believer's all. The true saint is so completely satisfied with the all-sufficiency of Jesus that he thirsts no more, except it be for deeper draughts of the living fountain. In that sweet manner, believer, shalt thou thirst. It shall not be a thirst of pain, but of loving desire. Thou wilt find it a sweet thing. Thou wilt find it a sweet thing to be panting after a fuller enjoyment of Jesus' love. One in days of yore said, I have been sinking my bucket down into the well full often, but now my thirst after Jesus has become so insatiable that I long to put the well itself to my lips and drink right on. Is this the feeling of thine heart now, believer? Dost thou feel that all thy desires are satisfied in Jesus, and that thou hast no want now, but to know more of him, and to have closer fellowship with him? Then come continually to the fountain, and take the water of life freely. Jesus will never think you take too much, but will ever welcome you, saying, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful devotion this morning. All right. 1 Kings 9. So our reading this morning is chapters are 1 Kings 9, Ephesians 6, Ezekiel 39, and Psalm 90. So 1 Kings 9. Now it happened when Solomon had completed building the house of Yahweh and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to do, that Yahweh appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And Yahweh said to him, I have heard your prayers and your supplications, which you have made before me. I have set apart as holy this house, which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not have a man cut off from the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have given before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have set apart as holy for my name. I will cast out of my presence. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will feel desolate and hiss and say, why has Yahweh done thus to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook Yahweh, their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and took hold of other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore Yahweh has brought all this calamity on them. Now it happened that at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of Yahweh and the king's house, Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold according to all his desires. That King Solomon then gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. So Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they were not right in his eyes. And he said, what are these cities which you have given me, my brother? So they were called the land of Kabul to this day. And Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Now this is the account of the forced labor which King Solomon raised up to build the house of Yahweh, his own house, the Milo, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and captured Gezer, and burned it with fire, and killed the Canaanites who lived in the city, and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer and the lower Beth Horon and Baalath and Tamar in the wilderness in the land of Judah, and all the storage cities which Solomon had, and the cities for his chariots and the cities for his horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land under his rule. As for all the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not the sons of Israel, namely, their sons who were left after them in the land, whom the sons of Israel were unable to devote to destruction, from them Solomon raised up forced laborers to this day. But Solomon did not make slaves of the sons of Israel, for they were men of war, his servants, his princes, his captains, his chariot commanders, and his horsemen. These were the chief deputies who were over Solomon's work, 550 who had dominion over the people doing the work. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her, then he built the Milo. And 3 years, and three times in a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he built to Yahweh, burning incense with them on the altar which was before Yahweh. So he finished the house. King Solomon also made a fleet of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is near Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent his servants with the fleet of ships, sailors who knew the sea, along with the servants of Solomon. And they went to Ophir, and took from there 420 talents of gold, and brought it to King Solomon. All right. In Ephesians 6, and I'll take a drink of coffee here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the integrity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, serving with good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good things each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also receive the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, as well as on my behalf, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about all my affairs, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. All right, in Ezekiel 39. Now as for you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. And I will strike your bow from your left hand, and cause your arrows from your right hand to fall. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares Lord Yahweh. And I will send fire upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastland securely, and they will know that I am Yahweh. And my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned any more. And the nations will know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be done, declares Lord Yahweh. That is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both shields and large shields, bows and arrows, war clubs and spears, and for 7 years they will make fires of them. They will not carry wood from the field or gather firewood from the forest, for they will make fires with the weapons, and they will take the spoil of those who made them into spoil and seize the plunder of those who plundered them, declares Lord Yahweh. And it will be in that day that I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off those who would pass by. So they will bury Gog there with all his multitude, and they will call it the valley of Hamon Gog. And for 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Even all the people of the land will bury them, and it will be unto their name on the day that I glorify myself, declares Lord Yahweh. Now they will set apart men who will continually pass through the land, burying those who are passing through, even those left on the surface of the ground, in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search, and those who pass through the land will pass through, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he will set up a marker by it until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And even the name of the city will be Hamona. So they will cleanse the land. Now as for you, son of man, thus says Lord Yahweh, say to every kind of bird and to every beast of the field, gather and come, assemble from every side to my sacrifice, which I am going to sacrifice for you as a great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. So you will eat fat until you are satisfied, and drink blood until you are drunk, from my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. And you will be satisfied at my table with horses and charioteers, with mighty men and all the men of war, declares Lord Yahweh. And I will put my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment which I have executed, and my hand which I have placed on them. And the house of Israel will know that I am Yahweh their God from that day onward. And the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted unfaithfully against me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I dealt with them, and I hid my face from them. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, now I will return the fortunes of Jacob, and have compassion on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. So they will forget their dishonor and all their unfaithfulness which they perpetrated against me, when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them tremble. When I return them from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall prove myself holy through them in the sight of the many nations. Then they will know that I am Yahweh their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations, and then collected them again to their own land, and I will leave none of them there any longer. And I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord Yahweh. And finally, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fell asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it blossoms and sprouts anew. Toward evening it withers away and dries up. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to might, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and wickedness. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long will it be? And be sorry for your slaves. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your slaves, and your majesty to their sons. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. All right, and that's our reading for the day. Again, as I said, the links for everything I've read is in the show notes, as well as links to the hard copies of stuff. I hope that this time together this morning, you sharing this with me, will help to equip you and edify you. It will lift you up. It will hedge up your ways. It will keep you on the narrow path. For the unbeliever, I pray that this would continue to do a work in you this time and prepare you and get you ready for the work of the Holy Spirit, and would bring you to a point where you truly hit your knees, as I did, and beg that the Lord would come to you, that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit to you to do a work of regeneration and salvation in you and bring you to a saving faith in Christ. I do want to mention, it actually started yesterday, but believe me, there are a lot of sessions going on yet left. It is what's called the Puritans Conference. I realize, and I want to clarify this, a lot of people hear Puritan and they've got the misperception that the Puritans were these sad, mean-spirited, little puritanical, which is obviously where the word came from, puritanical people. But if you really dig into them, those perceptions were put on them by people that disagreed with them theologically. The Puritans have been, for me and for a lot of people, some of the best things to read. They can be a little hard because it's an earlier English, so it can be a little bit tough to read some of them, except for Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson is definitely somebody that is very easy to get started. If anybody starting in the Puritans and have not read them before, it's a great read. But even some of the ones that are harder to read are definitely worth it. The Puritans were such, which is why I read from Valley of Vision, Puritan Prayers. And actually, a number of the commentaries I use when I'm preparing sermons are from Puritans. The Puritans were wonderful, wonderful. I mean, I say wonderful men of God, except I saw somebody say the other day that none of us are wonderful men of God. We're sinners trying to be obedient. And I would agree. And the Puritans would say that too. They wouldn't necessarily consider themselves great men of God. But the things they wrote so encapsulate what the doctrine is, what Christianity truly is, what the doctrine truly is, what a saving faith truly is, and how we as saved people should walk, how we should walk, how our walk should be shaped by the scriptures. They're wonderful at it. So Puritan Conference is going on. This is out at Grace Community Church in California, where the Shepherd's Conference is, where I've been a couple of times. If I could have afforded it and could have afforded both the time and the money, I would have gone. I would have loved it. Been some great sessions already. There are going to be some more great sessions. It is streaming live at, I think it's puritanconference.org, but it's also like Roku and any of those, the Grace Media app, which is the media app for Grace Community Church, but they're streaming it live. They're streaming all the sessions live. That are in specific, they have specific rooms there that do stream live, and then other ones that just don't. They're not set up to be able to record and stream or to be able to live stream. But it's definitely worth your while. The sessions that I caught yesterday were amazing. People that I've listened to, people that I've met before that were speaking, and the rest of the sessions, the rest of the presenters are just wonderful. So I would definitely recommend it for you. And that's not just for somebody who preaches or teaches or anything like that, or podcasts or any of that. That would be for all the Christians. That would be for any and every Christian. Definitely get you a better understanding of the Puritans, because believe me, understanding the Puritans and reading from them will help your walk. I say that without any qualms. It will help your walk. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time together. Lord, we would pray that this time together would help all of us, would equip and edify us, would lift us up, would hedge up our ways, would help keep us on the narrow path and help us in our Christian walk. And for our fellow man, those that are unsaved, Lord, we would pray that it would bring them closer and closer to a saving faith in Christ, not through any work of our own, but that they would be ready for the call, for the work of the Holy Spirit, which we know comes back without failure. And Lord, we would pray that they would truly be humbled and come to a point of true understanding of their abject depravity, and thus beg you for forgiveness. Dear Lord, please still be with those who are dealing with the results of Ian, both for their physical and spiritual health. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great one and do all that you do today for the glory of God. God bless.